Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up
to bring you
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on. That's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at SerenityRug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's SerenityRug.com.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Shalom. And praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. Also, blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting songs that give praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune in to our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings.
And welcome, everybody. Good morning or afternoon, depending on where you live in the country. My name is Tara Dawn. I'll be your host today. I'm just covering for Aaron James, who is on vacation. And if you're listening or would like to listen to the show, just call in. Our call in number is 347-324-3704 to listen. If you want to participate in the discussion, which I highly encourage, just press 1 on your dial pad. That lets me know that you would like to be a part of the discussion. And it's really fun because, you know, this is a it's not my area of expertise, but I know something a little bit about going barefoot, and I guess I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up as a military brat, and where I learned about barefooting was in Japan, actually, because the Japanese make you take your shoes off at the door. You're not allowed to walk in with it, and that was a tradition that my family picked up. It's very good for you, and I loved it. I would go to school barefoot in Hawaii while I was there. It was the most fun I had. So to this day, you know, I love going barefoot. I'm barefoot now. And so, you know, that's the whole gist of it. When people learn how good it feels, then they really don't want to go back. I mean, I do wear shoes when I have to. But I guess I want to talk about some things. I was looking over some of the comments in the Barefoot is Legal group, and I was noticing a post by a gentleman who had received or is expecting to receive a letter from the sheriff, and a comment came out, to which I replied, that we already know that it's legal, so why waste the sheriff's time? But see, the problem is not everybody does. And sometimes it makes people feel better when there is confirmation from law enforcement, and it makes for a good testimonial. So I don't feel it's a waste of time, but it's education for people who don't know. I mean, I used to think that it was illegal. I think I was told that it was illegal to drive while going barefoot. Okay. As we all know, it's not. And I have a couple of articles up here about going barefoot. And first, I want to mention something that's pretty close to home for me, because I am diabetic, and I went to the diabeticconnect.com, and the person was saying, I love to walk around my house and outside on the grass, especially after it has been mowed. I just love it. I know it's not good to do in case of injury, but I love it. I have always walked barefoot, even as a kid. Now I'm being told I can't do that anymore. This individual said that I just want to kick off my shoes after I get home from work and walk barefoot. It's a habit that this individual can't kick. So, you know, that's something that every diabetic has to use common sense and discretion. I know that my doctors told me I shouldn't go barefoot, but guess what? I do. It really depends on where I'm at. So there's a further down, okay, in this article. An individual says, care providers advise all patients, regardless of their health status, not to go barefoot. The only difference is diabetics are often told this without asking, while the individual with no medical conditions is only given this advice if the subject comes up. The reasons given are increased risk of injury or infection, as well as damage to the musculoskeletal system, secondary to a lack of arch support. The additional concerns for the diabetic patient are delayed healing, poor circulation in the lower extremities, and a lack of proper, I can't even pronounce the word, I'll spell it, proprlcetiv, awareness due to neuropathy. Okay. Current research suggests that arch support for the majority of people is not only unnecessary, but actually detrimental to overall foot strength and health. And although it may come to as a surprise to most people, anecdotal evidence is increasingly pointing to a lower rate of injury in barefoot runners, walkers, hikers, and livers compared to their shod counterparts. Also eye-opening is the fact that shoe wearers have reported a much higher incidence of blisters, ulcers, and fungal infections than have habitually barefoot persons. My conclusion is that the commonly given advice for healthy individuals to refrain from going barefoot outdoors has been misguided and counterproductive. The diabetic patient most likely has diminished circulation as well as lower rates of healing, provided they do not have the degree of neuropathy that makes it impossible to detect a sharp object penetrating their plantar surface. Going barefoot can actually be of tremendous benefit to them by increasing circulation via active foot muscle use and a statistical reduction in foot wounds and infection. And this individual is a diabetic, and they are 95% barefoot of the time, a barefoot runner, skateboarder, and cyclist. And so he goes on to say that the health, physical, as well as mental benefits of going barefoot are grossly underestimated by most. And he says, I've come to the conclusion that provided a diabetic does not have neuropathy that is advanced to the point that they really are not sensing what they are stepping on, that barefoot activity is beneficial, especially if the person actually enjoys the activity, leading in turn to a boost in the function of the immune system. So I agree with that, because if you think about it, when you wear shoes most of the time, and the more fungus survives and thrives in a warm area, right? So I think it's very important to understand that shoes are not always beneficial if there's fungus growing inside your shoes, okay? Why do you think some people have stinky feet? They wear socks and their shoes all the time. They're, I guess, afraid to take off their shoes. And when they do, they have stinky feet syndrome, okay? And the only way to get, you need to air your feet out. If you're wearing shoes, you need to air your feet out. There's nothing wrong with going barefoot. And you might find that you like it, okay? I have gone barefoot as a diabetic outside, and I have stepped on, some sharp objects and, I felt it, okay? So you want to understand what, especially if you're diabetic, it's always good to have cleansing wipes and maybe some, antibiotic ointment after you get off of your feet if that happens to you. And you might want to see your doctor if it's really, really bad. But other than that, I love it. I have not had a problem. I've never had to see a doctor because I stepped on something. I like it. It actually feels better. I know I went walking in a park and I did wear my shoes that time. But I decided to take off my shoes and my feet felt instantly better. So I would also, whatever doctors tell you, I'm sure that they have your best interest in mind from their perspective learning, okay? But I would also take whatever your doctor tells you and go research online. I mean, keep that information and advice in the back of your head. But if you're like I used to be, where you take everything verbatim, what a doctor tells you, especially one that knows nothing in natural nutrition, then it could end up hurting you in the long run. So, I mean, the advice is good where it's needed. So I'm not discounting doctors. They have their place. But I would also go research it and inform yourself, educate yourself. Because the first... the only person that can take charge of your health is you. Okay? And while modern medicine has its place, there's a time and a place for doctoral allopathic doctor's advice. You should also know something a little bit about natural things, natural ways of doing things. And try looking. It's not, you know, it's not a conspiracy theory. Try looking at the benefits, because everything has benefits as long as you're able to do them. So that's my stance on health and diabetes, and because I know that's a concern. It is a concern. Well, what if, because that, you know, what if you get punctured? What if, and you can't feel this? You need to do something, and if that means increasing your circulation, you know, that there's a lot of ways to do that. Exercise, just overall maintenance. So I'm sure that there are other issues that are of health concerns. I know people talk about, you know, what about parasites? Okay. Well, from my research, that like hookworm and whatnot, that's usually associated with animal feces, I guess. It's where the worm can burrow. If you step on it, the worm can burrow into your foot. Well, I wouldn't recommend walking anywhere that, you know, that you might step on animal feces, because you never know, okay? I mean, there's always, you just got to use common sense. You really do. I don't know if I could, you know, say any more on that, just where you're going. So, here's an article from symptomfind.com. Okay, and there's an article, weighing the pros and cons of walking barefoot. Okay, it's second nature wearing shoes in modern society, but in recent years, the barefoot movement is gaining popularity among health-conscious individuals who are shunning shoes altogether. The trend is actually popping up all over the country. So, you know, while we're seeing this trend and attention brought to it, it's really good because people are becoming aware of, you know, the benefits of walking barefoot. So, but there's still some people that don't understand why the big deal about going barefoot. The supporters of the barefoot movement, which we are, claim that going barefoot is better for your feet, okay, and that the shoes are to blame for a plethora of foot problems that are experienced by so many individuals. The belief is that shoes can have detrimental effects on ankles, bones in the feet, and joints in the lower extremities, okay, and it says here that proponents of walking barefoot point to the fact that for more than 90% of the population, shoes hurt their feet. From young children to the elderly, most will agree that at the end of the day, they look forward to removing their shoes. Yeah, every time I put shoes on, my feet always feel cramped if I wear them. So, and I know some of you out there that are listening are diehard barefoot, okay? And that's great because But there's people that everybody is at a different stage in this movement, okay? And some people are full-blown in. Some people, like myself, because of the diabetes issue, I kind of have to be careful. And I think everybody should be careful, actually. So, most shoes don't fit properly, something that can easily be observed by looking at people's feet. Many people suffer from bunions, calluses, blisters, and deformed feet, all as a result of poor-fitting shoes. Supporters of going barefoot claim that it's impossible for any shoe to fit properly because all shoes constrict the foot and inhibit the natural movement that is supposed to occur when people walk. And then many believe that wearing the shoes actually changes the way people walk and disrupts a person's natural gait. So, I mean, if you have any comments or you want to lend to the discussion, please feel free to call in. I'd love to hear what brought you into this ideology, this trend, this actual healthy movement that we call going barefoot. I'd like to hear that, and I'm sure it would help because we all have something that would either deterring us or will drive us and motivate us, and usually it's perception. Perception controls behavior. It could be fear that someone is walking, will see you walking barefoot and they'll like, oh no, they'll faint over. I mean, a lot of it is fear, perception, and lack of information. So that's what this group and this show is all about. People can look at the work boot as an example of the negative effect of shoes on your feet. Work boots with their rigid base and high top that extends over the ankle limits the range of motion of the foot and ankle. And although the purpose is to stabilize the ankle, the result is an ankle with a limited range of motion that cannot extend past a predetermined point. Okay, this is unnatural and can cause weak ankles and feet. As feet and ankles become weaker, they become more dependent on the work boots for strength and stability. So it perpetuates the problem of weak feet. Weak ankles and feet lead to sprains, fractures, and other stress injuries of the foot. Barefoot supporters claim that over the past 2,000 years, shoes have led to the anatomical deformation of people's natural gait. So supporters of barefoot walking, although they agree with the negative effect that shoes have on the body, are more drawn to the idea of getting back in touch with nature. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, I currently live in a city, and I went to a conference in Ohio last year, and I made sure that I got a bed and breakfast out as close in the woods as I could, and it was wonderful. I loved it. The lady that runs the bed and breakfast, she has no problem with people going barefoot, and so I she goes barefoot, so it's always nice to have a place where you can feel like you're at home and be able to just enjoy that connection and feel free to go barefoot. And I really like that aspect of that place. And when I go back to Ohio, I definitely will look up that bed and breakfast again. It's just beautiful. I mean, And as if you can hear it, there's a siren going off in the background. That's city life. And I've never been much one for major cities or city life. But I've been here for 4 years. I'm in Pennsylvania. And I like the landscape. I love going out to the country. I love going to the parks in which I can walk barefoot. And I love it, although some people are not as kind, and they like to, sometimes there'll be some glass on the ground, and you got to watch out for those things. So, weighing the pros and cons. What do the experts say? So, research studies on the effects of shoes have been cropping up across the globe. Many scientists have concluded that people did, in fact, have feet that were in better physical condition prior to the invention of shoes. However, expert opinions are divided and depend largely on the specialized area of the expert in question. Many podiatrists assert that proper fitting shoes do not cause foot problems in healthy individuals. They also add that the use of custom orthotic inserts designed to offer additional support for fallen arches and weak feet can greatly improve overall foot health. Some podiatrists that have traveled to other countries where barefoot walking is the norm have come back and reported a very low incidence of foot problems in the population. So natural health practitioners are more likely to advocate barefoot walking as it is conducive to the holistic lifestyle they support. Many traditional general practitioners will agree that going barefoot some of the time is beneficial to the feet. However, they are not likely to support the barefoot walking movement that discourages the use of shoes most of the time, if not altogether. So there you have it. But I do believe that many more traditional practitioners are starting to come around. At least some are. And that's a good thing, because having an actual general practitioner endorse something like this and actually admit that it's good for your feet, your overall health, is very nice confirmation. Benefits of walking barefoot. The main condition that can be corrected from walking barefoot may be weak feet and ankles, because it says that the feet consists of bones, muscles, and ligaments. If the muscles are not exercised regularly with natural movements, flexing, and complete range of motion, weakness can result. That weakness can also lead to stiffness that constantly pulls the bones out of their natural alignment. Wearing shoes can lead to this very type of muscle weakness and result in perpetuating problems for the feet and ankles. And I've got a story to tell about that. One day, a few years ago, I thought, I guess I had always thought that when you do low-impact aerobics that you need to wear shoes, okay? I don't know why I thought that. I thought it would provide more cushion at the time to doing these aerobics. Well, I wore my sneakers, which I felt were very comfortable, and my feet had started hurting, so I stopped. And then the next day, because I had torn ligaments on both sides of my foot, on both sides of my left foot, and they asked me, how did you do that? I honestly don't know how I did it. It's not like I fell, but I do believe that, now looking back, that it had something to do with the shoes that I was wearing. And they do stiffen. They restrict the movement of the foot, I believe. So I don't want people to think that they have to wear shoes when they're exercising. I don't know where that thought came from for me, but I ended up hurting my foot and had to be off of exercising for a while because of the pain and the ligaments that were torn. It took a while to heal. So be careful. Also, make sure that when you're going to do any sort of exercising to stretch, I thought I did, but apparently it didn't work out too well for me on that aspect of it. So is it harmful? And people have these questions. Is going barefoot harmful? Questions about the safety of walking barefoot are addressed by medical professionals, and the answer depends, once again, on the specialist area of interest. Podiatrists believe that the number one issue with not wearing shoes is the lack of support offered to the foot and any damage that can occur as a result. Family physicians and pediatricians are more concerned with the possibility of picking up bacteria, fungal infections, and viruses as a result of going barefoot. Possibilities include plantar warts, a viral infection that can be found on dirty surfaces or athlete's foot, a fungal infection that is commonly found in locker rooms and other wet surfaces. Another concern is the possibility of stepping on a piece of glass or a rusty nail that can lead to a tetanus infection. Also of concern is the possibility of contracting hookworm. And we mentioned that a little earlier. Hookworm is a parasite that's found in animal feces, and it does enter the skin by burrowing under the surface when it comes into contact with the feet. Like children can step on hookworms in the sandbox, dirt, or grass. So, is it safe for children? Most doctors will agree that children's feet will benefit from spending a lot of time barefoot. So when young children wear shoes, it can inhibit the normal growth pattern of the feet and interfere with proper foot development. I mean, all you have to do is look at, you know, foot binding. I don't know if they still do it, but when they used to do it to their girls, the girls' feet were smaller and they were not formed like a foot is supposed to be formed. So parents who advocate barefoot walking for their children claim that the younger the age when a child wears shoes, the more damage that will result. Parents who choose to let their children walk barefoot should always take any necessary precautions when outdoors. So I agree with that. And there's nothing wrong. You know, and some parents have the concern, well, what if my child catches a cold? Or, you know, can they catch a cold from going barefoot? No, you can't. Okay, that's not how you catch a cold. The cold virus or the bug likes to thrive in warm environments. When I lived in Germany, I would see young mothers walking their babies out in bitterly cold weather, and the German weather system is very cold. And I learned, that's when I learned that it's not the cold that makes you sick, it's the heat. So if anything, you know, letting your child walk barefoot as often as they're able to is good for them. And always remember, it's the heat. And why people get sick in the winter is because you got a warm body, okay? And it's not because of the cold. And these viruses or bugs want a warm body to live in. That's all. But it has nothing to do with being cold. Actually, you're probably better off in the cold, even though I don't like it bitterly cold and I don't like it too hot. That's just me. So if you're curious about how to get started, the easiest way to start is to go barefoot all morning after you get out of bed. I mean, if you're curious, you want to, and you're not sure about it yet, just start going barefoot when you get up in the morning and stay barefoot, you know, all day. Or, and then you can, you know, wean yourself into it. You can put your shoes on just as you're about to walk out the door from work, and then remove them as you come home in the evening as well. I know some places of business do not allow going barefoot. I know when I ran my store, it was not allowed. There were strict requirements. But trust me, every chance I got, I would take my shoes off. When I got home, there's no way I wanted to be stuck in shoes. So I'm a little late for the break, so I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and I will see you after the break on the other side.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Seems things are happening so fast now. And again, I want to thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be with your audience and with you tonight. Everyone out there in your listening audience, they should listen to you every single day. Don't you miss a program. Lord bless. Everybody set that spiritual house in order. It's the most important thing out there. Thank you and good night.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Hello, Freedomizers. Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to join my great co-host Scott Ferrarello and myself, as well as our many correspondents and colleagues, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's noon Pacific, for Zone 13, the best fast-paced news, current events, and investigative report show on the web. We bring you the news the mainstream media won't. Please find us at freedomizerradio.com, where you can listen and chat. Again, please join us for Zone 13, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Hope to see you there, Freedomizers.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from shapeism? Shapeism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld, help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worsening of your heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
And welcome back to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. My name is Tara Dawn, and I'm your host for today. Erin James is on vacation, so I'm substituting for her. She'll be back next week. If you're just now joining us, our call-in number is 347-324-3704. If you'd like to participate in the conversation and give us your input, just press 1 on your dial pad. That lets me know that you would like to participate. Our phone lines are open, and I would, you know, I'll be happy to take your call. Also, for those listening, and I'm sure some of you already know about this, but the Barefoot is Legal show has a website. It's called barefootislegal.org. You can go there and find out a lot of information. I'll post that. And we also have a Facebook group. And I will post that you can join. And everybody will be welcome to do that. We also have in the group, if you want, you know, if you're asking, well, how can I get this message out? You know, how can I bring it up? One way is, you know, if somebody comments on your bare feet, it's a perfect opportunity to inform them. Most objections are just information. They want more information, and because they don't understand, so they're going to object based on their perception and what they do know, and then you can help inform them and increase their knowledge base about the issue. There's a lot of in the group. There's a lot of pamphlets and facts and a lot of information you can look up. And if you're in the group already and you're not aware of that, you just go to the up near the top where it says file, and then you can go look in the files. There's handouts, brochures, flyers. A lot of the information a lot of the information and questions you may have is already answered. Or if you know somebody that is asking questions and you want to give them material, you can do that. So we advocate it, and I know that there are some people who have organized in the past meetups, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's good because it just increases the support level, and it's fun. I think that when these groups get together, they have a lot of fun doing it. So we were talking about going barefoot and weighing the pros and the cons. And we talked about parents who may want to let their children try walking barefoot, can start by letting them play without shoes, both indoors and out. Teach them to remove their shoes at the door and never wear them in the house. And that is hygienic because, you know, and that's why the Japanese do it. I mean, not only is it better for their feet, but, you know, you don't know what you're stepping on with the shoes outside and carrying in and get embedded. And I was asked once, well, what about dirty feet? You never know what you're stepping on there. Well, the difference between the shoes and the dirty shoes and the dirty feet, you can always have, I mean, this wonderful invention called wet wipes. You can always get those, have them clean your feet, whereas it's a little bit harder to do with shoes. Because there's those deep crevices and whatnot. So, and you don't even know if you're getting it all out, not to mention the inside of the shoe, okay, that you don't know what's been lurking in there for who knows how long. So, you know, some would argue that there's pluses and negatives. I mean, I guess if it were snowing and icy, I would not go out barefoot. So it never hurts to have a pair of shoes to have when you absolutely need them. Although I think I've heard that there are some people that are able to walk in the snow. And if you can, that's kudos to you. I can't do that. And I guess you would have to condition your feet for that. So, from what I have read so far, the cons of going barefoot are far outweighed by the benefits. You know, and with anything, and I'm not trying to generalize it, but people can think up of pros and cons to everything. I think that the pros are way better. You just got to use common sense where you step, and you've got to discern and determine, you know, is this place safe to wear shoes? You know, like there's some places that have broken tiny pieces of glass. So you just got to weigh the, you know, it's a judgment call on each individual person, okay? And no, it is not illegal to drive barefoot. It's not illegal to walk barefoot. It's not illegal to go into a store barefoot. A lot of people, and I know this has been mentioned plenty of times on this show and in the group itself, because, but you know, we always have new people, and they may have the same questions and they may not know. So I would think, you know, it's really something good to reinforce. And usually all the questions are pretty much the same, besides is it illegal, is it healthy, is it right to do. And I really applaud the group for getting confirmation, and people in the group who have been able to get confirmation from either law enforcement or wherever, higher up, insurance companies, wherever you need to go to get it, so that these people can say, hey, okay, it's all right. Because some people will only believe that if they see it in writing from an official authority. I mean, who are the official authorities, though? Let's face it, is the barefooters themselves. But some people like the extra confirmation. There's nothing wrong with that, because it's like you have extra sources, and some people need that. I think it's a security thing because, you know, let's face it, we've all been confronted by people, or people who look at us funny or make a comment, and so some people just aren't there yet to face up to that kind of confrontation. But when they have literature, you can pass it out, and that'll answer a lot, if not all, of their questions. And the same thing with people who are searching. There's people that want to go barefoot but don't think that they can. So I happen to be on another website called going-barefoot.info, and they also confirm going barefoot even in public is not against the law. But those of you who do it probably already know that. What about going barefoot in public? The only public places where barefooting is not frowned upon in most Western society are the beach, swimming pools, and perhaps some parks. Most people don't go barefoot in any other places for various reasons, such as being afraid of getting their feet dirty, catching diseases, stepping on sharp objects, being ridiculed by others, or being thought of as poor, low class, or even crazy. And probably the biggest reason is that they think it's against the law, which is a myth. But we know that it's okay, and once people understand that they're not going to be held liable if they step on something, if they step on something, you know, that it's not the store's fault. Another thing is most insurances do not cover customers. They are liable only for the people that work there. And so that's why you have a lot of these companies that have these rules, because if something does go wrong as a worker, it'll fall back on them. And so, you know, that's their concern. The customer, you know, as far as companies are concerned, I would think it's at their own risk. And many workers don't know that, and they think it's illegal because they have to wear shoes. So they think, well, that applies to everybody coming into their place of business. It's not so. And I would, you know, I used to think that. I really did. But that's because I was looking at it from the perspective of, okay, well, if it's not safe for me, then it's probably not safe for them. And so some people tell you that out of concern for your safety, when in fact, you know, if they had unsafe things around anyways, that's not good. You know, you wouldn't want to have glass on the floor or in a store or whatnot. I mean, that would not be good for your business anyways. So it usually only applies to the workers. And there are some workplaces that don't mind you going barefoot or their employees going barefoot because they recognize that it's good for your feet. There's grounding mats you can get. I think it increases overall morale at a place of business. So, because if your feet are happy, you're happy. Same thing, feet, teeth, you know, those two things. If your feet aren't feeling well, you're not feeling well. If your teeth aren't feeling well, you're not feeling well. So it seems to affect everything in your body. So it would also stand to reason that going barefoot will affect you beneficially. And some people, you know, to some people, earthing is just grounding yourself. And it goes into the magnetic, I don't know a lot about it, but I have read some on it. The earthing, when your feet touch the ground, the earth's magnetic sphere or whatever, the I don't want to say vibrations. I don't have the word right off the top of my head. But I believe it's been known to lower your blood pressure, giving you an overall sense of well-being. That can't be bad. It just can't be. So I know that when I'll just reiterate, when I've gone barefoot outside, I go barefoot, I just love the feel. I love it. So some people are afraid to get their feet dirty. Of course, your feet are going to get dirty if you walk barefoot outside your house, but that's part of the fun. Believe it or not, quite a few barefooters think that it's fun and cool to have dirty feet. And if you don't like it, you can always wash them as often as you like throughout the day, which is no big deal. So, you know, I'd like to know, what do you prefer, clean or dirty feet? To me, it doesn't matter unless... I will clean, if I'm outside barefoot, I will clean my feet to come in. Because, again, the concern is, what are you bringing in from outside? You don't know. But it for the feet, it's just a simple cleaning them. And that's a nice saying about skin. It's easy to clean. So now we can compare that to wearing shoes all day long. If your feet sweat at the end of the day, you know, and whoever else is near you probably won't be able to stand the smell. My feet have never smelled. And I believe firmly that it's because I go barefoot a lot. They don't have an opportunity to be a haven for some sort of fungus that wants to grow. Now, I see that, you know, if you're listening and you would like to participate, please press 1 on your dial pad so that way I can let you in and maybe you can help me with some of these things that I'm stumbling on, because I'm sure some of you out there are much more attuned and expert on the grounding information. I just know that it's good for you. You step on the ground barefoot. And I'm not saying, I'm saying aside from the sidewalk or the street, you want to be actually on ground. And I could actually say that, you know, in the Bible too, even God doesn't mind people going barefoot. After all, he told Moses to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground. So, and I'm going to bring in a caller. I have a caller that wants to join in. 762, what's your name? And tell us about yourself.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, I'm Kevin Stevens. I'm a regular listener as well as a regular caller. And
awesome.
And by the way, nice show to fill in for Ms. Erin James. Beautiful job.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying. I love to hear from you, and thank you for calling in. So how long have you been barefooting?
Well, it all started back in 2013. I was on another social media website, and I was reading stories about how people like to go barefoot because they like to like feel the ground or feel the grass in between their toes and stuff like that. And for me, it was like, okay, whatever. You know, because I just like most people, I always grew up, you know what I'm saying, wearing shoes.
Uh-huh.
So then later on, I revisited those stories that I read, which prompted me to do some research, Google, whatever, is barefoot healthy? So as I was reading and doing all this research, which I am still doing because I'm trying to like memorize this stuff. You know, I was astounded. I was like, okay, really? Okay, so let me go ahead and try this out. So and like most people, you know, saying it took baby steps.
You're right.
Now, of course, I was one of those people who sometimes wore slippers or something inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's gone. That's dead and buried now. So, so basically, to fast forward to make a long story short. You know, basically, it was the research that honestly convinced me, to be quite honest. So basically, it's like, all right. So I would. It all started when I like. I would get outside my room, then put my shoes on, then go. Then I started walking walking barefoot to the laundromat, put my shoes on, went in, came out, and took my shoes off again. You know.
Awesome.
And then when I was in the laundry room, you know, then I saw somebody else in there with no shoes. I'm like, okay, no, since nobody really cares, why not just go for it? You know,
right?
And then later on, I was in Georgia on vacation. Now of course I'm still like, you know, in the beginning stages because I never ever walked into any store without shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what happened was I was in the shoe section of the Dollar General. I took my shoes off, put them in my flip flops, I should say, put them in my pocket, mm-hmm. and pretended like I was shopping for shoes. You know what I'm saying? And
uh-huh.
Now, of course, none of the employees said no. I guess it's because I was in the shoe section. You know, did the same. Yeah, did the same thing at Walmart. Did the same thing at Target. You know, and so now fast forward. I think it was sometime before that. I decided to one Saturday afternoon just go to the park. So I just went to the park and just walked and took some pictures with my iPad, junk like that. So then I went to the beach side here in Virginia. Just walking up and down Oceanfront, going inside the stores, and
right.
And you know, and which I think is probably more, you know, it's probably more acceptable because it's the beach, and the beach is right there, so nobody really cares, you know what I'm saying? Now, of course, if a girl can go into one of those shops with a bikini, which I saw, to be like, hey, nobody uh-huh. cares about me being barefoot.
Right.
Know? So
exactly.
So sometime later, in Jacksonville, I went to another dollar store, you know, and of course I'm still kind of, you know, nervous and junk like that to go in. So what happened was I went inside just to get a bottle of water, you know, saying, and I was approached, and while I was in the line getting ready to pay for my junk, I was approached by an employee who said that, that you cannot be in here without shoes on. It has something to do with OSHA, and it's worldwide. And I was like, well, do you want me to get some shoes? You know, and I was like, he was like, well, you're already in line now. But and now, mm-hmm. of course, I'm not good with confrontation. I'm not good with confrontation because I knew he was wrong, but I just didn't, mm-hmm. you know, speak up at that point. You know,
right.
So one Saturday afternoon, I'm back in Jacksonville. I decided I'm just going to go to the mall, just to walk around. You know what I'm saying? So I'm still nervous, kind of. You know, so I'm sitting on a bench for a good, I don't know, 30 to 45 minutes probably, you know, before mm-hmm. I went inside, and basically nothing was said, nothing happened because I was acting like I was shopping. I was just browsing. You know what I'm saying? Which
uh-huh.
took my mind.
Beautiful.
It took my mind off of it. So, you know, because it was like, you know, not trying to draw attention to my feet. You know, because mm-hmm. as we see it now, a lot of people don't even notice. You know,
right.
And it just built, you know, my confidence. Like, to me, the more people left me alone, the more my
right.
confidence builds. Now here in, at a neighborhood grocery store where I was going in barefoot when I moved to this area, and all of a sudden, I mean, I think I was shopping, I was just about done, and this
mm-hmm. Did I lose you, Kevin? For some reason, I don't hear you. We may be having some technical difficulties. I'm seeing that you're still connected, but for some reason, I don't hear you. Or maybe you don't hear me. If anybody hears me, and you're in the chat area from the freedomizerradio.com, if you hear me speaking, please say something, because I don't know if we got disconnected. I don't know what's going on. Kevin, if you can hear me, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. We're a few minutes past our break time, and just stick with me, okay? I'll be right back.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheeTheMotionPicture.com.
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Dre drops the verse.
I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Box it up, yeah.
I like the way you grow it so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it.
No diggity,
no doubt.
We've got squash and peas. Pollinator bags for all your bees. Melon don't want to squeeze. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good.
I want to grow it. I want to taste it.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden, peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
The Soulfully Beautiful Show focuses on healing, getting over your past, and working on your future.
You should listen to the Soulfully Beautiful Show!
And welcome back to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. If you're just now joining us, I'm your host for today. My name is Tara Dawn. Erin James is away on vacation. She will be back next week. And if you'd like to listen, our call-in number is 347-324-3704. And if you'd like to participate in the conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad. And so I'm going to bring in, I don't know if which one of these may be Kevin. We lost him due to technical difficulties. But I've got two callers, and I'll bring in one at a time that would like to comment. So area code 571, you're live on the air. Tell us your name and a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Tara. This is Stephanie. I'm actually the host of Body and Soul Awareness on Sundays on Freedomizer Radio. How are you doing?
Hi. Pretty good. And how are you? Thank you for listening.
I'm doing really good. I was going to call in sooner, but this babe and me were trying to get a few things done. And so sorry I didn't get to call sooner, but I'm really excited because Barefoot is Legal is something that I just became part of the group, so I'm really excited to be part of it, and I'm excited because I had no idea that there were so many other people that love to go barefoot and understood the benefits of it, so it's super cool.
So when did you start discovering the benefits and start your journey on barefooting?
You know what? I want to say it's been a lifelong thing until I, like everybody else, was told that it was illegal to drive without shoes on or to go into different stores without shoes on. So for a really long time when I was young, I was always barefoot. And then when I became an adult, I was either barefoot or I had flip-flops on because that's how you get around the system, right? You just throw on some flip-flops. And I remember at work, in my corporate job, I would be barefoot when I was on my floor, and then when I had to go to the boardroom, I would put on my flip-flops.
Hey.
I didn't like too much, but I got away with it for some reason.
Well, I guess they figured it was shoes, right?
Exactly. Now, HR department always looked down on me, but nobody said anything. And then the way that I got around that is I would take flowers and I would stick them on my flip-flops, so it looked like they were sandals.
Aw, that's really nice.
Yeah, but so now it's kind of an everyday thing. I'm a stay-at-home mom and I work from home. So me and my little guy, we go out there all the time and we walk around barefoot. Now, the only time I don't go barefoot, just for sanitation reasons, is if we're out and we happen to be in a public restroom. I think those are the grossest places ever. So I always wear shoes in public restrooms. But other than that, I'm fine going barefoot pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, and you know,
now that it's warmer, too.
Right, and I applaud you that you've gotten that far, but it's been a lifelong lifestyle for you. And so it's good to hear these testimonials because other people who may not have thought about it or considered it, it helps other people be empowered. It really does, when because they may be in the same situation as you.
Definitely.
And so it encourages them.
Yeah,
Sharon. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you're right. It's definitely a big thing because that was really big for me, too, when I found out about this group was, oh, my goodness, this is really a thing that people do. And this, for so long, I always got chastised for it because I didn't wear shoes and it wasn't the civilized thing to do because everybody else had shoes on and I didn't. And I think it helped to, like you said, just to know that there's other people out there that not just do it, but understand the benefit of it as well. But then if you look back at history, the history of human species, we didn't always have shoes. And I think our feet were, but yeah, our feet were better for it. And it's funny because my son, my oldest son, he's 15 and he's really big into tennis shoes. Well, he wears Nikes, and Nikes tend to make your feet more narrow. They kind of, like, push your toes in. So when your feet are actually growing, especially at his age, when your feet are growing, it's actually changing the structure of your feet. So you don't walk as well. You have more problems. You have more problems with your arches falling and other issues like bunions and stuff like that as well.
So it's your opinion, and well, not opinion, but it is a fact that going barefoot does not cause your arches to fall.
No, it actually makes you use them more. It makes them stronger.
Very good. Very well. Sharon, do you mind if I bring another caller on in this discussion with us?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and I'm going to bring area code 305. You're on the air live. Can you tell me your name?
Can you hear me?
Oh, is this Kevin?
Yes. I don't know what happened, but
oh, good, Kevin, you're back.
yes, I am.
I went to a commercial after you got booted somehow. So I'm glad you're back. I'm glad I didn't know what happened. It just went silent. So I took a commercial break, and we have Sharon on the line with us. Did you want to finish that thought?
Yes.
Stephanie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So, but anyway, I forgot where I left off on my story, however, that's right, because I was in the grocery store and I'm just about to finish shopping and for some reason this employee, he came, I guess, from wherever he was, clear across the grocery store, and told me, you must wear shoes. And I'm like, is it He said, you must wear shoes. It's a health issue. I'm like, is it company policy? It was like yes, it was. Like, I guess the person next to him must have been one of the store managers or whatnot. Now, of course, I was tempted to, you know, go back and tell him, you know, I mean, because I actually got the letter from the Virginia Health Department, Agricultural or whatever, you know, saying that there's no laws or health codes against it.
Right.
You know, so basically, you know, I emailed them and he said that yes, it is in their policy. You know, they also go on in this letter. They also go on to say that they will accommodate customers for personal and religious reasons. Okay, like wow. So I emailed.
Religious reasons.
Yeah, so I tried to email. Well, that's what the letter said. They mailed me. You know what I'm saying? So, and the thing is, we're getting past that. Thing is, you know, and of course you hit everything on the head just about, you know, the fact about the laws and liability. Okay, the liability, you know, now, of course, people, could you still see the shirt and shoes required? And as far as the Dollar General, it is posted on their door. And for the longest time, I ignored it. So it was like a couple of weeks ago, I went to a Dollar General, and the cashier told me, "You shouldn't be here with no shoes on. You there might be broken glass or something." I'm like, you know what? That's cool. I'm fine. Manager came up to me. I can't let you walk around with no shoes on. You know, because we're liable, and it could be broken glass and this and that. And I tried to, and I was telling her like, you're not liable. You know what I'm saying? So, when they bring up the whole broken glass thing, you know, they say, oh, there could be broken glass. So if you believe there's broken glass, then why aren't you sending somebody to clean it up?
Good, exactly. Thank you. Right.
Yeah. Well, why aren't you sending somebody to clean it up? Because to me, these businesses know that you're only liable if you do negligence. So if you just tell people you believe that there's broken glass, then why don't you send somebody to clean it up? I haven't seen no broken glass anywhere, any all story I've been to. You know, and the health issue thing. How is bare feet have anything to do with selling food? I mean, is the dirt on my feet gonna get into a can of soup or something? Is it gonna get into the vegetables? You know, how is that?
Well, that thing doesn't even make sense because, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to interject something because if a parent brought in a little toddler, and you know, toddlers are infamous for picking things up and seeing things. If there were glass, I mean, they could be held liable for having the glass on the floor, but yeah, that's just the point I wanted to interject.
I think that's the responsibility of the parents, you know. And now here's another thing nobody thinks about. What if I'm in a wheelchair? What if I'm in a wheelchair and I have no shoes on? I'm in a wheelchair. Are you gonna make me leave?
Exactly. Good point. Good point.
Are you gonna make me leave? So as far as Walmart is concerned, I saw on YouTube the crazy people at Walmart, and I saw how some of these people are dressed. And there's no reason why anybody should be worried about bare feet if you look at these people. You know, so why is it that people still believe in these myths and misconceptions? You know, so while I was talking to manager, I'm like, you know, if I cut my hand on your shelf, are you liable? I'm like, no, you're not. He's like, no, you're not liable. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, as a matter of fact, speaking of liability, I was watching a court show. This is not completely Bethel related, but I was watching a court show, and this lady tried to sue this manager because she reached up on the top shelf to get something, and she hurt herself. Instead
wow.
of, you know, she said she asked for help and nobody came. So she's like, okay, you know what? I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to go ahead and do it myself. So she reached up to the top shelf and she got scraped or something, you know, and tried to sue the manager. Mm-hmm. And the judge gave her a little bit of grace and gave her some money from the manager. But if I was a judge, I wouldn't have given her a dime because he said that he got signs posted. If you need assistance, ask for help.
Right.
So you mean to tell me you're going to ignore the sign and do whatever and get hurt and you're going to try to sue the company? I don't think so. You know,
right.
What about the mop? I also brought this up. If you're mopping the floor and you don't have no wet floor sign, I walk in, whether I'm wearing shoes or not, I walk in and I slip and bust my hump, I can sue and I'm most likely I'll win because you didn't have no wet floor sign saying be careful. Now, if you had that wet floor sign and I fell and I tried to take you to court, I would lose because that wet floor sign covered your liability issue. But if you,
that's
they
right.
don't think about that, though. No. They only worry about – I know companies are worried about safety, and I understand that. But they only worry about one body part, the feet. They only worry about one body part. You know what I'm saying? It's like, to me, if I got to wear shoes and everybody else got to wear gloves.
Do we need to wear helmets and gloves? You know, I mean,
yeah,
to protect
yeah.
us from anything falling?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it's like, should I wear a whole body suit just to be safe? You know, and when people ask me, and y'all should use this too. When people ask me, where are my shoes? I tell them, I'm wearing my birthday shoes.
That's a good answer. I have a question.
I love that.
Yeah, I have a question for Stephanie and Kevin. We're running short on time, but so I'm going to ask, while we know it's legal to drive while you're barefoot, is it practical? Stephanie, you want to go first?
I want to say it's extremely practical because all I have to do is get in my car and go. I don't have to worry about mixing anything up. And then, like I said, with the since I mostly do flip flops and not real shoes, if I do wear shoes, I think that it's less safe if the flip flop happens to come off and get wedged under something, as opposed to me having bare feet. To be totally honest.
Okay, that's a good answer, Kevin.
As far as practical, I mean, I personally think it's okay. People, I guess some people just want to. I think it's more comfortable just to drive without shoes, you know. And we all know that it's not illegal to drive barefoot because look. It's not like cops got a barefoot radar and go stop you and give you a $25 ticket for no shoes on. They don't care about that. They got other things to worry about. They're trying to catch you speeding. You know.
Right.
Do we really need shoes to operate our cars? No, not really. I said why not?
So I have a question on top of that. That I guess it's more of a concern. So while, you know, and it does feel good. I've driven barefoot with my shoes off before, and I actually like it. But what about, and the more accidents happen with vehicles than in a plane. So what happens if there's an accident? Do you think shoes would protect your feet, or does it matter? Stephanie?
Shoes aren't really going to make that big of a difference unless maybe they're like steel-toed boots, right? Because if the impact is that bad, and honestly, let me give you an example really quickly. I was in a car accident in 2009, and I had heels on, and because of the position of my foot when the car impacted me, it actually caused damage to my foot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know. That's good.
Yeah,
Kevin?
I would say definitely it does not protect you.
Okay. Yeah. That answers my question. But Kevin, go ahead. What are your thoughts on shoes in the car and panic accident?
In a car accident, it doesn't matter. It's not going to even help you. It really does depend on the impact. You know what I'm saying? Shoes or no shoes. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's really, really severe and they have to come with some bolt torches or whatever just to get you out the car, then yeah, your feet are pretty much, as well as the rest of your body, you're pretty much done.
Yeah, that's true. I can appreciate that, and I actually agree. It was a concern that I had because I've actually read that happened, that may be a concern for people. But it's always nice to hear the perspectives, or like in Stephanie's case, she had actually had experience with that. And it's always good to know and to hear, because we all know that people are going to raise all sorts of objections or concerns. And remember, an objection is just an inquiry for more information.
Definitely.
So we have a little over 3 minutes. Is there anything that you guys want to impart advice? You guys got probably a minute each. Stephanie?
All I'd like to say is the main reason that I go barefoot, outside of the fact that it seems to be such a rebellion, is because it helps me ground to the earth, because I know that my body is pretty much made of the same stuff that the earth is, and making sure that I get my feet into the grass, sand, the dirt, at least like today, is so important for my overall health and grounding.
Exactly.
So I'll leave everybody with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. I like. Maybe next time, if I substitute again, I'll go more into the earthing aspect of it, and I'd love to have you call back in.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely call in.
Because that is not, I mean, I've read a little bit on it, but I'm not proficient on it. Kevin, what would you like to add?
Well, I like being barefoot because it's more relaxing and comfortable, and it really just feels great, free from shoes. Now, of course, I have to wear shoes because it's part of my uniform. I can't dispute that or get around that. So I just deal with it, and it's cool. But for everything else, you know, I don't need shoes. You know, and for those people who are, for those places that that require shoes, whatever, you know, I say forget the flops or Crocs. You know, I say go to Sue Reagan Kenny's barebottomshoes.com. You can look this up when the show is over too. Barebottomshoes.com. They're soleless shoes. They cover your feet, but not the bottom. Zero shoes.com. There are these extremely flat, lightweighted sandals. That's 0xero shoes.com. Check those out. Which I think is to me way better than wearing flops any day. You know. So with those two, and there's another one. Sockless. Sockless .com. They also lightweighted, minimal shoes that you can wear. You know, because for me, you know, putting on sneakers, I'm now wearing sneakers usually never bother me, but it annoys the hell out of me now. So I much rather not wear those. But those three that I just mentioned, if you look those up. You know, saying, so you might like them. You may whatever shoe that you have now, you might just toss those in the trash.
Yeah,
you know, we're at less than 30. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm
we're
sorry
less than 30 seconds.
Another one is earthrunners.com. That's another good one. Go ahead. Sorry.
Very good. No, that's fine. The more information that's out there, the more that people can go get the thing that they need that'll benefit them. Always remember, hey, nothing's wrong with taking a risk. Visit Barefoot is Legal website, and we'll see you next week with Erin Jane. Good night, everybody, or good afternoon or morning, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks so much.
All right. I will see you on Facebook.
Awesome.